today I am excited to continue our Mastermind series. As I've been saying throughout this series, if you will grasp and apply the truths from this series, I believe that it will change your life because it will change your thinking. Over the last few weeks, we've been camping out at Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, let's go there because we're going to start there today. So if you have your Bible, go to Romans chapter 8. If you have your YouVersion Bible app, I'm in the CSB version. You can tune in there or it'll be on the screen. So let's look at that now. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verses 5 through 7. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit." So as we've been talking about over the last couple weeks, that's pretty self-explanatory. Those who are living according to the world and the flesh, their minds are set on those things. The original word for set is to have your mind directed towards. So you're going to fixate your mind on those things. You're going to anchor your mind to those things. You're directing your mind on those things, and you are like-minded with the world if you're living according to the world. But if you're living according to the Spirit, it's because you've set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You are like-minded with God. Verse 6, "Now in the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace." So where we direct our thoughts, whether towards the things of the flesh or towards the things of the Spirit, is important, because directing our minds to set our minds on the things of the flesh lead to death, but to set our minds on the things of the Spirit lead us to life and peace. How many of you want life and peace? I believe all of us do. And so here Paul tells us we have to set our mind or direct our mind to the things of the Spirit. Verse 7, "The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so." So anything in our life that is not submissive to God's laws is hostile to God. The Bible tells us that our minds, if it is not fixated, if it's not directed towards the things of God, it will be hostile towards God because it is not submissive to His law. It is unable to follow in His ways, to follow His laws. So as we've been saying, our predominant thoughts determine the direction of our life. So whichever direction you direct your thoughts, it's going to determine the direction of your life. If that's negative, if that's toxic, if that's worrisome, if that's full of anxiety, if it's full of the things of the world, that's where your life will move. If it's the things of God, if it's the things of faith, if it's the things of hope, if it's the things of the gospel, that is the direction that your life will go. Your predominant thoughts determine the direction of your life. And so it is important where we devote our thoughts, because it will lead us to life and peace, or it will lead us to death and chaos and destruction. So today, over the last couple of weeks, you can go back and look at the messages and get caught up. But today, I want us to go a step further in directing our thoughts towards the things of the Spirit by understanding why it is that we process things in a certain way. Why we process certain information in certain ways. As we've been saying, a healthy mind must be filled with healthy things. However, sometimes it's not just filling our mind with things, as we talked about last week, but it's how we receive that new information and we receive those thoughts and what we do with them upon receiving them. So why is it that we're having the thoughts or the feelings that we're having? That's what we want to talk about today. Well, it begins with a thing called cognitive bias. Cognitive bias. A cognitive bias is a filter by which we process the information and the thoughts that we receive. So as you receive information, as you receive thoughts, you are going to have, because everybody has a cognitive bias, you're going to have a filter by which you receive that. That filter could be good, it could be bad, it could be positive, it could be negative. We all have cognitive biases by which we filter the information that we receive. So it could be negative based on negative experiences, based on negative memories, based on a former marriage that failed, based on a failed business, based on someone who has beat you down, tore you down with their words, someone who has been abusive towards you, someone who maybe it's some other circumstance that you went through that it was negative in your experience, or maybe it's the lies that you tell yourself, but that cognitive bias, that filter would be negative based on predominantly negative memories, predominantly negative thoughts. On the other hand, it could be positive. You could have been raised in a very loving, affirming home. You could have been raised with people who were supportive of you. You could have been raised in an environment where things were comfortable. And so most of your experience are positive. So you may be a naturally positive person, and those things are going to have an effect on how you filter thoughts and information that come into your mind. So, for instance, just this week, we went to Marshall's, and while we were there, I saw a green shirt that I thought would, you know, if Nikki wore this shirt, she's going to make it look great. It's going to be a benefit to this shirt because she is wearing it. And so I wanted to buy it for her, and she told me no. And so I asked her why don't you want this shirt? Do you not like it? And she told me, she said, well, I don't wear green anymore. And I said, why don't you wear green anymore? I didn't understand. She said, well, several years ago, this old man that had come to the place where she was working, he was a pearl designer, and he told her to never wear green again. And I'm looking kind of bewildered and, you know, like, what? What are you talking about? And she proceeded to say that he told her that green was not her color, that it washed her out or made her look pale or something like that. First of all, I want to go find this guy to find out who this creeper is talking to my wife and telling her what she should and should not wear. I mean, after all, you're a pearl designer. You're not a fashion designer. That's why I told her. I was like, why in the world? I'm telling you this shirt would look good on you. Why in the world are you taking the advice of a stranger, some old man, some negative old man that's probably got low self-esteem and he's trying to make himself feel better because he doesn't feel good about himself? Why would you take his advice and listen to his opinion over the opinion of your husband? And she said, well, he's an expert. I said, yeah, an expert at designing pearls, not on women's clothes. But I should be the expert on what looks good on you and what you would make look good. My opinion should matter more than his. So what happened? Years ago, an old sourpuss man gave his opinion about what looked good on my wife, and she allowed that to take root in her mind. She believed him because of he's a pearl designer. Come on, a pearl designer. And so she believed that, and it created a negative bias in her mind. That's now the way that she filters her wardrobe. So she bypasses and will bypass great-looking shirts that she could wear that happened to be green because of this man's bias, because of his opinion. She created a bias. And so, of course, I wasn't happy about that, and I told her and that my opinion should matter. And so with this negative bias, with this negative thought, she has a choice. She can continue believing it the rest of her life, and she can continue to choose to believe that she doesn't look good in green, or that green is bad for her skin, or whatever that circumstance is. Or she can choose to reframe that negative bias. She can choose to reframe that cognitive bias that she has. And she could tell herself, you know, Nick's right, as he often is, because he's my husband and he loves me. He wants the best for me. He believes the best about me. And he would in no way want me to wear something that would embarrass me or that wouldn't look good on me. And so, you know, he's right. That old sourpuss man, Mr. Pearl designer, whatever, he isn't an expert in women's clothes. My husband is an expert in what looks good on me and what he likes. And I am the standard of beauty for women in my husband's life because I am the only one for my husband. And so, you know what? I'm going to listen to my husband, not Mr. Sourpuss, Mr. Pearl designer, whoever he is. She could reframe that. And with our negative biases, with our negative cognitive biases, we have to learn how to reframe those thoughts, how to reframe the negative, reframe even the negative feelings and the uncomfortable feelings and the feelings of anxiety, and reframe those into something positive, reframe those into something healthy, reframe those into something that is true. A cognitive bias does not mean the facts are wrong. So the fact is that Nikki would look good in this green shirt. That's a fact. That does not change based on her cognitive bias. What changes because of our cognitive biases is the filter by which we process that information. So I say, hey, Nikki, I think this shirt would look good on you, or I know this shirt would look good on you. And that doesn't change. That fact does not change. What changes is the filter by which she receives that information. So for instance, you can take the two employees in the same company. They have the same boss, they're in the same department, they worked on the same project, and maybe there's some challenges with it, maybe it didn't turn out as good as it could have or should have or whatever, and so the supervisor comes in and gives the exact same feedback to two different employees who work in the same department doing the same project, and one employee might look at that supervisor, and maybe he doesn't say it out loud, but he essentially says, you know, who are you? Like, who does this guy think he is? Who is he to tell me that he's not the one doing the work and he's not the one that had to do the project? And who is he to tell me that my work's not good? And who is he to tell me how to fix my project or to fix my job or to fix my effort or whatever that might be? That could be one way to approach it. That could be one filter by which they take that feedback and they process it. Or the other employee, the second employee in the same department, in the same, doing the same project, could look at that and say, thank you for giving me that feedback so that I can get better, so that I can improve, so that I can do a better job the next time, so that I can continue to strive for excellence. It's all in the filter by which you process the information. And so we all have a bias by which we're going to filter information. Some of you may be that employee who, when the boss comes, you're like, who are you to tell me this? What do you know about my job? You're always telling me that I'm not doing something right or I'm not getting it right, rather than seeing maybe the boss is trying to help to get you to be even better. Maybe you're excellent, but you can always improve. You can always get better, and they want to help you do that. And so instead of having that bias that the boss believes in me, the boss wants more for me, instead we filter it with the negative. We see this all the time, especially in the church world, when it comes to God. In the employment situation, the facts didn't change. The feedback was the same. It didn't change for each employee. It was just the filter by which they processed it. But the same is true for God. Some people have been raised in a very positive environment where they've been taught positive things about God, good things about God. And so as they come into church or as you're having a conversation about God, one person may receive that well. Some people may be receptive to that. And then others, maybe they had an abusive parent. Maybe they had an alcoholic parent or an addict parent, or maybe they had a parent that abandoned them or abused them or whatever that situation might be. And that in that same conversation, one person is thinking positive thoughts about God, receptive to God, and the other thinks negatively. And as they relate God to a parent as a father, they kind of reject that and they have negative thoughts about God. Why? Because their upbringing, their negative memories about their parent has created a negative bias by which they receive new information about a parent or a situation in that kind of a relationship, especially when it comes to God. We see that all the time, that the relationship with the earthly parent has an effect in the way that we process the thoughts about a heavenly father. The facts about God don't change. The facts about His love don't change. The facts about the gospel don't change. The facts about how He is a loving Father, a good, good Father, those things don't change. What changes is the filter by which those who receive that information. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 tells us this: for who knows a person's thought except his spirit within him? So here, Paul is saying that who outside of yourself even knows what you're thinking? Who even can process that? Who can even guess that? He goes on to say, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And so for us, if you've been married or if you've been in a relationship, we know this to be true. We can't read each other's minds. We can't read someone else's thoughts. We don't know what they're thinking, especially if you've been married. And I know a lot of times the saying is said that, you know, men can't read a woman's thoughts. Your husband can't read your thoughts. Well, the same is true for women and wives. They can't read a husband's thoughts. It's not based on gender whether or not someone stuffs their thoughts or they don't share their thoughts. So if you're not willing to communicate and you're not willing to share those things, someone else doesn't know your mind. They don't know your thoughts. And so in the same way, what Paul is telling us here is no one knows your thoughts. I mean, unless you share them, no one other than your own spirit, little s, this isn't talking about the Holy Spirit, this is your spirit that you're created with, in your self-talk, in your mental capacity, you can understand, you know what you're thinking, you know what your mind is processing. And then he goes on to say, not only do we know our own thoughts, but it's the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God. That anyone outside of having the Holy Spirit can't know the mind of God. And so today, I want you to take this tool away with you, a tool to master your mind. This is what I want you to walk away with. First of all, ask, why do I feel this way? How can I reframe my thoughts? So ask yourself, why do I feel this way? You know your thoughts. You understand the feeling when someone comes and says something to you. Maybe it's a little bit negative, like, you know, oh, you don't need to wear green. Green's not your color. Where immediately that makes you feel a certain way. Or someone challenges you on something. Or someone maybe critiques something that you did, maybe a piece of art or something like that. And so all of a sudden, it makes you feel a certain way. Or someone mentions God, and all of a sudden, it makes you feel a certain way. Ask yourself, why do I feel that way? What is it in my life? What is it in my memory? What is it in my history that makes me feel that way? And then ask yourself, how can I reframe my thoughts? How can I reframe my thoughts? I'm told that I don't look good in a green shirt or green's not my colors. Why do I feel a certain way about that? Why do I feel that's true? And then how can I reframe that? Well, that's just a pearl designer. Who is he? He has no vested interest in me. He doesn't even know me. Maybe that one shirt didn't look good on me, or maybe that one shirt with whatever else I was wearing that day, or the lights, maybe it was the lights in that building, whatever. Like, you can reframe that where you're not buying the negative, toxic information or thoughts. You can reframe that for the positive and reframe it for the truth. And so some people suppress their feelings. Some people don't want to deal with their feelings. They want to push them down the road. They want to, they want to wait to deal with them. They want to, they want to forget about them. They want to procrastinate in handling them. But Dr. Caroline Leaf says that at the moment we receive information, now there's a lot going on, and it's a really great study. I wish I had time to go through it, but I don't. And how attitude affects our filters, and how attitude affects our cognitive bias and all these different things. But as soon as you receive new information, as soon as someone tells you something, you're in a different experience, you're going into a circumstance that's difficult, whatever that is, and your thought process begins, it creates a new thought, or there's new information that you're receiving, your attitude can affect how you filter that, how you receive that. It could be negative, it could be positive. And a lot of that has to do with your previous experiences or memories. And so at the moment you feel uneasy, you feel it in your stomach, you feel it in your gut, you start feeling kind of awkward or whatever, some people may suppress that. Some people may think, well, I'm just kind of scared, or maybe I'm anxious or whatever, and don't really give much thought to it. But Dr. Caroline Leaf says you need to immediately start trying to figure and work that out. Why do I feel this way? What is it that's making me feel this way? As I walk into this situation, as I walk into this circumstance, as this person says something to me, Why does it make me feel that way? Because we can't fix something if we don't identify it. If you're sick, they have to identify what the problem is. If your car is messed up, they have to identify what the problem is in order to fix it. So if your mindset is negative, if you're not having victorious thoughts, if you're not thinking positive, you don't have a healthy mind, you find yourself living according to the flesh and doing the things of the flesh rather than living according to the Spirit, then you have to identify why. What is it that's causing you to filter things in those ways that cause you to direct your mind onto the things of the earth, of the flesh? And so you want to be able to start working through those feelings immediately as soon as you start feeling it. Don't suppress it. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalms 42, 11. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? See, he's questioning himself here. Why am I so dejected? I feel dejected. I feel in turmoil. And he's being retrospective, introspective, and he's thinking and he's analyzing what is wrong with me. What's going on in my life? What's going on in my soul? What's going on in my heart? Why do I feel this way? Then he goes on and says, put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Reframing reframing a thought is simply creating a different way of looking at a situation. It's creating a different way to look at a situation, a circumstance, a person, a relationship, and changing its meaning, changing its outcome. It's just like we talked about with the ABCD. What's the activating event? Someone told me I shouldn't wear green. Well, what do you believe about that? Is a pearl designer someone who should be telling you what color not to wear? Do you believe that he is telling you the truth? What do you believe about what's being told to you? What do you believe about that feeling or that emotion that's come over you about a circumstance or a situation? What do you believe about that thought that has come into your mind because someone was late picking you up or they didn't call you back when they told you they would or whatever that circumstance is? And then if you follow that belief out, what is the consequence of that? What's the outcome of that going to be? If you believe that about yourself, that negative, toxic thought, if you keep tearing yourself down, what is the consequence of that going to be in your life? And then the D is the dispute. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago. Well, here, we're really just diving deeper in that. The dispute is really the reframing. It's creating a new outcome. It's taking the truth. It's taking that which is positive, that which is good, and we're taking the negative and we're making it subjective to that which is good. We're reframing it. We're not saying that the negative and the bad and the toxic rules the day or rules our mind. We're going to reframe it into that which is positive and that which is good and that which is God-honoring and that which brings Him glory. You cannot control your circumstances, but you can control how you frame your circumstances. You can't control what happens to you. Can't control what happens to your children. Can't control what happens to your health. You can't even control your children. You can't control what happens to your career. You can't control any of those things, but you can control how you frame that in your life. It's like the boy who loved to play baseball. He says, I'm the greatest hitter. I'm the greatest batter. And so he goes outside, he gets his baseball, he gets his bat, and he throws it up in the air, and he swings as hard as he can to hit it, and he misses. And he says, that's okay. Everybody misses at least one. So then gets the ball, determined to hit it one more time or to try one more time. And so he throws the ball up in the air. He swings at it again, misses again. So he throws the ball one more time, a third time to hit it this time. Throws it up in the air, and this time he swings and misses again. And so he goes, wow. And he tells himself, I am also the best pitcher in the world. I'm the greatest pitcher because I just struck out the greatest batter. I just struck out the greatest hitter in the world. What did he do? He reframed his circumstances from being something that could be negative, something that could hold him down, something that could be a stronghold in his life, and he saw a positive in it. He saw something good in it. It wasn't untrue. In his little game of baseball, he was the best pitcher against the best batter, and the best pitcher won out. I'm not saying just to make things up, But I am encouraging you to take the truth of God's word. I am encouraging you to see the goodness in every circumstance and to reframe your life around that, not that which is bad, not that which is negative, not that which is toxic and unhealthy. To reframe a thought is to create a new meaning for it, a greater purpose for it. So no matter what that negative is, no matter if it's a difficult circumstance, no matter if it requires suffering or it requires struggle or it requires something else, no matter if it feels like a crisis, that you in your mind can create a new meaning and a new purpose for it. And we're going to see in just a moment how we reframe that according to God's word. The psalmist, Psalms 42:11, once again, says this: "Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God." So the psalmist didn't filter God through his circumstance. He filtered his circumstance through his God. Here, he is in turmoil. Here, he is dejected. That is the condition of his soul. But instead of just letting that rule the day, instead of that determining his life and his circumstances, instead, he starts telling himself what he's going to do. Instead, he starts talking to himself and he starts reframing his situation, not that he's going to stay dejected and not that he's going to stay in turmoil. Instead, he tells himself, "Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him. I will still rejoice in Him because He's my Savior and my God." So he's reframing. He's reframing based on who God is, reframing his circumstance, that he's not going to be dejected, he's not going to be turmoil, even though that is the reality of what is in front of him. He's going to praise and he's going to rejoice. He's going to celebrate because he belongs to God, because God is his Savior and he is going to take care of him. He's going to redeem him. He's going to rescue him. And so he reframed his circumstance. He reframed his thinking onto that which was true. So, three ways to reframe your thinking. I want you to write these down. I'm going to go through these relatively quickly. Number one, three ways to reframe your thinking. Number one, thank God for what didn't happen. Thank God for what didn't happen. Even in our bad situations, we can reframe it into what didn't happen and what could have happened and be thankful for what didn't happen, to praise God for what didn't happen. I heard several times people say that every day is a good day. It's a great day because any day is a good day as long as you're on this side of the ground. So you can reframe your thoughts and reframe your thinking into the reality of, you know what? Any day on this side of the ground, on this side of the grave, is a good day. It's a great day. In the mind of Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So even in the negative of dying, it was a gain. It was a positive. And so for every one of us, we need to thank God and be thankful for what didn't happen. I didn't get a raise this year, or I didn't get a bonus on that project, but I do still have a job. I can still provide for my family. You know, I've been shut up in the house because of this COVID-19 stuff. But even despite that, even in the midst of that, I still have a job. I still have the ability to earn money and to pay my bills, whereas it could have been worse. It could have been that you lost your job, that you were furloughed, that you lost your income and you couldn't. So even though there's a negative, it could have been worse. So thank God that it's not as bad as it could have been. Number two, is to practice pre-framing. Practice pre-framing. Instead of going into a situation with preconceived negative filter, a preconceived negative idea or thought about what's going to happen or what could happen, practice pre-framing the situation with positive thoughts. So instead of, "This is going to be hard, this is going to be difficult, this isn't going to be fun," pre-frame it to, "I'm up for a challenge. I'll find a way to make it fun. I'll find a way to make any situation fun. I'll find a way to learn something from any circumstance or any situation." I know this as a pastor going into a building and a building project of, you know, I could let my mind focus on, how are we going to pay for this? How, you know, when are we going to get this work done? How are we going to get this completed? But I could go into the building process with a mindset, which I've chosen to do, to say, I can't wait to see what God does through this. I can't wait to see how He provides. I can't wait to see how He brings everything together and gives us a tool and a resource and a building in order to make this happen, where we can give Him glory and we can have a building to use for His kingdom. When you want to hang a picture on the wall, a family picture or something like that, you go and you pick out the frame. You go and you choose the frame. It's no different in life. It's no different when you're walking into a circumstance or a situation that could be difficult, that could be challenging, that could be no fun, that could be stressful, or whatever that situation is. You get to choose the frame that you focus on and that you walk into that situation with. It can be negative, it can be toxic, it can be full of worry, it can be full of fear, or it could be positive. It could be focused on reframing it around, what's the greater purpose in this? What is God's plan in this? How could God use me for this? How could I be used for God's glory in this circumstance and in this situation? So go into each situation with a positive mindset, a faith-filled mindset, a praise-focused mindset, looking for the best, looking to make the best of any situation, not in letting the negative determine the direction of your life. Number three, look for God's goodness. In every circumstance, in every situation, look for God's goodness in that. It's funny, every time I've set out to buy a vehicle, even if I've not seen a lot of them on the road, as soon as I start looking online or I've started looking at car lots or whatever, where I didn't see a lot of those vehicles before, all of a sudden they're all over the road. All of a sudden, they're everywhere. And so it's because I'm looking for it. In the same way, if what we start looking for, we will find. It's like a buzzard. A buzzard is set to look for dead animals. And so it looks for and it circles around to find dead things, to find negative things. You could be a buzzard. If you're looking for negative things, you're going to find negative things. Yet a hummingbird is set and it's designed to look after sweet things, to seek after sweet things. And so it would go right past the dead carcass and right past the buzzard and go to find the sweet nectar. That's what it's looking for. That's what it's seeking out. You and I have the same choice in life. Whatever we seek out, we will find. If you look for the negative, you'll find the negative. If you look for the bad, you'll find the bad. If you look for trouble, you'll always see trouble. You'll always see a problem. But if you look for the good, you'll find the good. You'll see the good. If you look for the positive, you'll find the positive. If you look for the opportunity, you'll see the opportunity. In the same situation, everything we walk into a circumstance, it could be good, it could be positive, or it could be negative, it could be a challenge. Look for the goodness of God in that situation. Look to reframe it around, how can I find the goodness of God in this? How can I find a greater purpose in this? The filter we process our thoughts through must be the gospel. You can write that down. That's going to be our final point, and then we're going to close with a scripture here. The filter we process our thoughts through must be the gospel. Our ultimate goal as followers of Jesus should be to reframe every circumstance, every thought, every bit of information through the gospel. How can I use this for the purposes of God? How can I use this to advance the kingdom? If it's negative, who does God say that I am in Christ Jesus? Who am I? Who do I belong to? What does this mean according to my salvation? What does the truth of the word tell me? But it's also in how I deal with things. Look at this scripture in full. We looked at part of this just a moment ago. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. Now God has revealed these things. That's the wisdom of the gospel. He was talking about that earlier in the chapter. He's revealed these things, the wisdom of the gospel, to us by the Spirit. Since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except his Spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. So we've not received the Spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit of God so that we can understand the gospel, so that we can now have a filter by which we look at life, new eyes to see the circumstances of life, the negativities of life, the challenges of life, we can now filter that through the gospel because we understand the gospel. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. So the Holy Spirit explains spiritual things to us as spiritual people. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit because it's foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. So those who are outside of a relationship with Jesus don't process things like we do. They don't understand the gospel. In fact, the gospel to them is foolishness. It's not been given to them by the Spirit to understand the gospel. So they're not always going to understand us. They're not always going to understand our ways. Our ways should look like the ways of the gospel. 15, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. So we now can evaluate things in the earth, in our mindset, in our thoughts, in our circumstances. We can evaluate these things because of the gospel and through the gospel. Verse 16, for who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? Who can tell God anything? Who knows his mind that they can instruct him? But then he says, but we have the mind of Christ. So we can think like Christ. We can think through the terms of the gospel because of the Holy Spirit that we have seen. And that should be the frame by which we reframe everything around. For the sake of the kingdom, we don't have to frame our circumstances around the negative, toxic experience and memories, but instead we apply the filter of the gospel to reframe the meaning of those experiences or to preframe upcoming experiences. So if there's been a negative experience through the gospel, we can reframe that with forgiveness. Forgiveness is a scientifically proven requirement to reframe and rebuild old negative toxic memories and thoughts. I wish I had time to go into that, but unless you forgive and even seek repentance, then those old memories cannot be dissolved and rebuilt into positive memories and positive thoughts without forgiveness. We trust God's sovereignty. There's nothing out of his control. There's nothing that happens he's not aware of or that he cannot overcome and control in our life. We rest with hope, not despair. Our future is secure. Our suffering for the glory of God. So we can rest in hope, not in despair, that he has held our future secure in our salvation. We operate from faith, not fear. God is our Father. He is not our foe. We do not have to fear the things in the world. We have a heavenly Father who is creator, who is our God. And then we walk in newness of life, not in our former selves. And so it doesn't matter what we believe about ourselves or what thought pops in our mind, and it doesn't matter what other people say about us. We walk in the newness of life, not in our former selves. Today, you can walk in that newness of life by placing your faith in Jesus for salvation. So today, I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to reframe your thinking for those who do know Jesus around the gospel, around the truth, around goodness, around all of those things we talked about today. But for you who don't know Jesus, if you're tuning in today, you can walk in the newness of life because you can start a relationship with Jesus today. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So as I pray, you can have a conversation with Jesus. You can repent of your sins, confess your need for him, confess your faith in him. And the Bible says that as you call out to him, he will save you. So let's pray. Let's have that conversation with God, whatever that looks like for you today, whatever conversation you need to have. And then we'll close out with worship this morning. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for giving us the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that we now can filter things through new eyes, and we can reframe things with new eyes because there's a greater purpose that we live for. There's a greater calling that we live for. There's a greater kingdom that we belong to. So help us to reframe our thoughts to that which is positive, to that which is truthful, to that which is honorable, to that which is worthy of praise, and to abandon the negative, to abandon the toxic, to reframe those things, to identify why it is that we think that way, and to even get resolution for those areas where we've been wounded or hurt or lied to. And so, God, We just ask for your help, for your strength where we are weak, through the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is anyone who does not know you here today, I pray that today they would call out to you, and today would be the day of their salvation. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.